Danny Meyer's journey from childhood food enthusiast to restaurant empire builder offers a masterclass in hospitality that transcends the dining industry. As founder of Union Square Hospitality Group, Meyer has built a reputation not just for exceptional food, but for creating environments where people feel genuinely cared for. His philosophy of enlightened hospitality has influenced countless restaurateurs and business leaders worldwide, earning him the first ever James Beard Award for Outstanding Restaurateur. What makes his approach revolutionary is his insistence that business success flows from prioritizing employees first, then guests, community, suppliers, and finally investors. A counterintuitive sequence that has nonetheless yielded remarkable financial returns. Setting the table has become required reading at hospitality schools and business programs alike, with luminaries like Shake Shack CEO Randy Garrity calling it the Hospitality Bible, and Warren Buffett praising its insights on customer experience. Meyer's relationship with food and hospitality began in his childhood home in St. Louis, where three influential male role models shaped his understanding of business. His grandfather, Morton Meyer, a Princeton-educated businessman who ran a chemical company, embodied stoic establishment values and effective collaboration across political lines. His father, Morty, demonstrated entrepreneurial flair but a tendency toward over-leveraging and expansion that twice led to bankruptcy. His maternal grandfather, Irving Harris, combined social consciousness with business acumen, making his fortune with the Tony Home Permanent Company before age 40. These contrasting approaches to business created tension in Meyer's family, particularly between his father and grandfather Irving, who intensely disliked each other. Despite this friction, his parents shared a love for Europe that led to formative family vacations at hospitable family-run inns. These experiences planted the seed for Meyer's business philosophy. True hospitality exists when you believe someone is on your side, when something happens for you rather than to you. Food became Meyer's emotional anchor and social currency from an early age. At 12, he gained weight from his insatiable appetite, prompting his mother's concern and his grandfather's calorie-counting challenge with dollar rewards. At summer camp, he discovered outdoor cooking, winning competitions with secretly enhanced recipes. In high school, he created signature dishes for friends and took home economics classes. These experiences, combined with his father's restaurant connections that made him feel like a VIP at local establishments, cemented food as the centerpiece of his social identity. During college at Trinity and his junior year in Rome, Meyer's hospitality education accelerated. Working as a tour guide for his father's company became hospitality boot camp, teaching him to satisfy the emotional needs of jet-lagged tourists. In Rome, he memorized every Michelin entry and dined out nightly, discovering that the best trattorias distinguished themselves not just through food, but through their welcoming spirit that created communities of regulars. This tradition-honoring approach would later inspire his own restaurant philosophy. After graduating in 1980, Meyer briefly pursued journalism and political campaign work before moving to New York. While working as a security tag salesman, he mapped sales calls around food discoveries throughout New York's boroughs. His uncle Richard's blunt question, "Since you were a child, all you've ever talked about is food and restaurants, why don't you just open a restaurant?" finally pushed him toward his true calling. In January 1984, Meyer began his restaurant career at Pesca, a Cal Italian seafood restaurant in New York's Flatiron District. Though his salary dropped dramatically, he formed crucial relationships with two individuals who would profoundly influence his career: Gordon Dudosh, who possessed a soul of pure hospitality, and chef Michael Romano. Meyer persuaded management to let him work in the kitchen during dinner shifts, starting with unglamorous tasks before working his way up to cooking risotto and pasta. Through wine studies, Meyer befriended Brian Miller, a young journalist who had recently joined the New York Times. These connections provided invaluable culinary education as he dined at diverse establishments, from chef-driven La Tulipe to Sirio Macchione's legendary Le Cirque, where he witnessed firsthand the art of exceptional hospitality. After 8 months at Pesca, Meyer arranged to study cooking in Italy and France. In Rome, he worked with a family restaurant while exploring food markets throughout Italy. In Bordeaux, he accompanied the head chef to dawn markets, visited vineyards on Sundays, and mastered kitchen skills from opening oysters to plucking feathers. This European culinary journey provided the foundation he needed, and he abandoned his earlier notion of becoming a chef, instead embracing his aptitude as a restaurant generalist. Returning to New York with detailed plans, Meyer estimated he'd need $500,000 to $1 million to open his rustic, off-Broadway-style restaurant in an emerging neighborhood. After visiting over 100 prospective sites across 10 downtown neighborhoods, Union Square captivated him, particularly Brownies, an old vegetarian restaurant on East 16th Street. Though the area was seedy by day and dangerous by night, the deteriorating conditions promised excellent lease terms. The total cost for lease, design, and construction in 1985 was just over $700,000. Meyer raised the funds mostly from family members as loans, allowing him to retain most of the equity. Construction finished just before the October 21 opening date, and Meyer conducted staff interviews beside a dumpster, intuitively building a restaurant family rather than just hiring for skills. His quirky job application included questions like, "How has your sense of humor been useful in your service career?" and "Do you prefer Hellman's or Miracle Whip?" to gauge personality. The opening night party on October 20, 1985 was emotionally overwhelming. Meyer broke into tears when the doors opened, marking the culmination of years of work. Though his father was absent on a business trip, this moment represented Meyer's breakthrough to achieve something independently. In the first weeks after opening, Meyer quickly learned that nothing makes guests angrier than waiting for the reserved table or food. His entrepreneurial side became addicted to volume, constantly trying to set new records for nightly covers in the 135-seat restaurant. This obsession with numbers created kitchen logjams, and on their first night with paying customers, two parties left because their food never arrived. Meyer developed what he called an athletic approach to hospitality, playing offense by enhancing good experiences with extra desserts or wine for regulars, and defense by diffusing angry situations. For those who waited too long, they offered their medicine cabinet, a refrigerator stocked with dessert wines dispensed liberally as apologies. Union Square Cafe expressed boldness and innovation by blending three distinct restaurant styles: the earthy, seasonal, food-loving places of Berkeley and San Francisco, the refined gastronomic temples of Paris, and the mama and papa trattorias of Rome. Meyer's goal was to create an ambiance of relaxed excellence, refined technical service paired with caring hospitality and soulful seasonal cooking. Against the high-flying 1980s trend, Union Square Cafe distinguished itself by offering exceptional value. This approach was shaped by Meyer's own childhood experiences of reading menus from right to left, prices first, and his travels in Europe where he'd enjoyed world-class pasta for just $3 to $4. He was appalled by American restaurants charging $18 for mediocre pasta and saw offering value as an opportunity to stand out. Meyer's epiphany as a restaurateur came at Paris's three-star Thai event, where he experienced seamless service and exquisite hospitality delivered with confident humor. Owner Jean-Claude Vrinot taught him that perfect service involves hiding our mistakes better than anyone else. Another formative experience came from dining solo in London restaurants, where he was frequently rejected as just one diner. This led to his determination that Union Square Cafe would treat solo diners with extra courtesy. Understanding the distinction between service and hospitality became the foundation of Union Square Cafe's success. Service is the technical delivery of a product, seating guests on time, delivering food correctly, decanting wine with grace. Hospitality is how that delivery makes recipients feel. Service is a monologue, where we set our own standards. Hospitality is a dialogue, requiring listening with every sense. In the dining rooms, Meyer constantly turns over rocks, hunting for details. A guest's impatient look, an untouched dish, a curious gaze at the artwork. These signals could indicate someone is bored, impatient, or interested, presenting opportunities to provide hospitality. He calls this collecting dots, gathering information about guests that allows him to make meaningful connections. Without turning over rocks, he can't see the dots. Without collecting dots, he can't connect them to enhance relationships with guests. Meyer often stands at the periphery of the dining room observing everything, temperature, smell, noise, and especially his staff and guests. Are staff members enjoying each other's company while staying focused on work? He studies guests' eyes. If they intersect at the center of the table, they're engaged with each other and don't need interruption. When someone's gaze wanders, that's his opportunity to connect without intruding. Since opening Union Square Cafe in 1985, Meyer has presented guests with both a check and a comment card, an innovation for fine dining at the time. The cards collect contact information for mailing lists and solicit feedback about food, wine, ambience, and service. This builds trust and gives guests confidence their suggestions are taken seriously. While the customer is always right, Meyer actively encourages feedback, even when guests aren't right, and thanks them for it. Meyer views excellence as a journey rather than a destination, requiring athleticism, a combination of innate ability, focused training, and persistent zeal to win. Like a politician who never takes votes for granted, he's constantly campaigning for a core constituency of regulars. When he notices guests from distant locations, he ensures they receive special attention, asking how they heard about the restaurant, whether they're in town for business or vacation, and where else they'll be dining. The reservation system has evolved from paper and pencil to sophisticated computer databases that help deliver personalized hospitality. Every morning, Meyer reviews detailed reservation sheets, looking for opportunities to enhance guest experiences. From creating strategic seating arrangements to acknowledging special occasions. The restaurants meticulously record guest preferences, allergies, special requests, and even past service mistakes in their database. Giorgio Smaldone, Meyer's father's manager in Rome, taught him a fundamental principle. There is to make them feel important. Always start with the one who most need feel important. This echoes what a longtime server once learned at Mary Kay Cosmetics. Everyone wears an invisible sign reading, "Make me feel important." The most successful people in relationship-based businesses can see these signs and respond accordingly. Meyer only launches new business ventures when certain criteria are met. He's passionate about the subject. It offers challenge and satisfaction, provides growth opportunities, adds something new to a specific dining context, and projects sufficient profit. His mission is always to take something accessible and make it better, or take something excellent and present it more accessibly. He feels the entrepreneurial spark when he senses a dining context should exist but doesn't, challenging the status quo by asking, "Whoever wrote the rule?" Context is everything. Finding the right idea at the right time, in the right place, for the right value. Meyer challenges his chefs to do something different or better than competitors with every dish. At Union Square Cafe, they created a smoked steak that became a signature when they couldn't outdo traditional steakhouses. At Tabla, Chef Floyd Cardos innovated within Indian traditions, creating dishes like heirloom tomatoes with ginger and black telecherry pepper. For 9 years, Meyer resisted opening a second restaurant, viewing expansion as dancing with failure, partly due to his father's 2 bankruptcies. When Chef Tom Colicchio approached him after Mondrian closed, Meyer couldn't resist collaborating with such a talented chef. They envisioned combining luxury dining elements in a new framework, creating a neighborhood version of an elegant restaurant, inspired by countryside taverns and early American aesthetics. Despite initial buzz and packed reservations, Gramercy Tavern struggled to meet expectations. After personal tragedy and professional challenges, Meyer developed the concept of enlightened hospitality, prioritizing staff first, then guests, community, suppliers, and investors. This philosophy revitalized both restaurants, with Gramercy Tavern eventually earning 3 stars from the New York Times. After strengthening both Union Square Cafe and Gramercy Tavern, Meyer was ready for further expansion. He had his eye on a space at 225 Fifth Avenue, overlooking Madison Square Park, envisioning an enclosed sidewalk annex that would help revitalize the downtrodden park. When examining the 2 adjoining spaces at 11 Madison Avenue, he realized the larger rectangular room with 30-foot windows overlooking the park was perfect for a brasserie, which became 11 Madison Park. For the second restaurant space, Meyer was flipping through Zagat when the Indian category caught his eye. The concept crystallized when he took his daughter to a concert where a clarinetist and tabla player performed a jazz Indian fusion, exactly the culinary approach he envisioned. They named it Tabla and hired Floyd Cardos, a Bombay native who had trained in French technique, as executive chef and later partner. Meyer firmly believes that attracting, hiring, and keeping great people is the only way a company can grow while staying true to its soul. In the restaurant industry, the competition for talent is fierce, and staff has far more impact on success than any ingredient, decor, or location. When hiring staff, Meyer weighs technical job performance, 49%, against emotional job performance, 51%. Like a light bulb that attracts moth through both brightness, 49%, and warmth, 51%, businesses need both technical excellence and emotional appeal. The restaurants can train for technical skills, but emotional skills are nearly impossible to teach. They seek people with what Chef Michael Romano calls the excellence reflex, a natural reaction to fix something wrong or improve something that could be better. A 51%er possesses 5 essential emotional skills. 1. Optimistic warmth, genuine kindness, and a glass-half-full attitude. 2. Intelligence, not just smarts, but insatiable curiosity to learn. 3. Work ethic, doing things as well as they can possibly be done. 4. Empathy, awareness of how others feel and how your actions affect them. And 5, self-awareness and integrity, understanding yourself and being accountable. Meyer uses a system called trailing to test technical skills and assess emotional abilities. This combination of training and auditioning keeps candidates on probation until they've observed their behavior in the real environment and assessed their fit with the team. Frontline managers arrange trails in each job category, with candidates going through 4 to 6 increasingly advanced sessions, often with different trainers. To identify hospitalitarians, Meyer teaches managers to listen to their gut feelings through 3 hypothetical situations. First, imagine your best judge of character having dinner with the candidate. What would they say when the prospect leaves? Second, imagine your keenest rival offering the candidate a job. Would you feel relief or disappointment if they took it? Third, imagine your most important customer getting the candidate as their server. Would you feel great or worried? A good sense of humor goes a long way toward fostering excellence. Many fancy restaurants execute everything perfectly, yet lack soul. They're not fun or sincere. Meyer encourages staff to express their humanity, learn from mistakes, and relax while still delivering excellence. The restaurants aim for the optimal 51-49 mix, naturally upbeat, genuine people who are also high-level achievers. Meyer views all employees as volunteers who could work elsewhere for similar pay but choose to join his team. In 1994, while promoting his cookbook in Dallas, Meyer met department store legend Stanley Marcus of Neiman Marcus. Preoccupied with troubles at his newly opened Gramercy Tavern, Meyer confessed feeling he'd made a terrible mistake expanding beyond Union Square Cafe. Marcus offered wisdom that transformed his approach to business. The road to success is paved with mistakes well handled. This aligned with his grandfather's philosophy that the definition of business is problems. Success comes not from eliminating problems, but from creative, profitable problem solving. When addressing mistakes, Meyer's restaurants follow five essential steps: awareness, recognizing the mistake happened; acknowledgement, openly admitting what happened; apology, expressing sincere regret without making excuses; action, saying what you'll do to make amends and following through; and additional generosity, offering something extra like a complimentary dessert or wine to thank guests for their understanding. The best responses to mistakes transform problems into legends of hospitality. When a woman left her wallet and phone in a taxi before lunch at Tabla, the staff persistently called her phone until the driver answered, then sent staff to retrieve her belongings, delivering them before the check arrived. At 11 Madison Park, when a guest worried about champagne exploding in his freezer at home, the maitre d' personally went to their apartment, moved the bottle to the refrigerator, and left anniversary chocolates and caviar. Even major crises become opportunities to demonstrate values. When 11 Madison Park's air conditioning failed on a sweltering day, the manager bought battery-operated fans for every table, creating a festive atmosphere from potential disaster. During Blue Smoke's electrical brownout just after opening, they provided 2-go bags with barbecue sauce and $50 gift certificates to disappointed guests and arranged alternative dining at other restaurants. Meyer makes absolutely clear that if guests don't like something they've ordered, it's removed from the check, period. This principle was reinforced when Chef Floyd Cardoz at Tabla refused to seat a loyal customer's party of 9 because it exceeded his 8-person limit. Meyer was stern. Policies are merely guidelines to be broken for guests' benefit. The restaurants exist to give guests what they want. Meyer's business prioritizes 5 stakeholder groups in a specific order: employees, guests, community, suppliers, and investors. While conventional business might prioritize investors first, Meyer believes this inverted approach ultimately leads to greater, more enduring financial success. By placing employee interests ahead of guests, he ensures his team feels motivated and enthusiastic, which directly translates to better guest experiences. The quality of a business can be immediately sensed by observing whether staff members are focused, supportive of each other, and enjoying their work. When there's abundant mutual respect and people continuously look for opportunities to help each other, this infectious spirit becomes the culture. Meyer's restaurants thrive when managers help waiters, waiters help cooks, and everyone supports each other through challenges. Hospitality begins with genuine enjoyment of bringing pleasure to others. Meyer strives to treat guests as he'd want to be treated, applying the golden rule as his most potent business strategy. His reservationists serve as the hospitality front line, trained to be agents rather than gatekeepers. Even when unable to accommodate a guest's exact request, they ensure the caller feels the restaurant genuinely tried. Meyer makes it clear to new employees that they've joined a company that takes an active interest in its community. Employee involvement in the community makes them better at caring for one another and guests, while serving as effective team building. When colleagues work, serve, and play together beyond work, they return knowing each other better and working more effectively. The restaurants prioritize doing business with companies whose principles align with theirs, not just those offering the best products. Meyer seeks enlightened companies with 51%ers who share his passion and community values. He builds loyal, mutually respectful relationships with suppliers by consistently honoring commitments. Meyer shares ownership with managing partners who earn equity through hard work, adherence to values, ethics, loyalty, and leadership skills. This ownership perspective has been vital to growth and success. His funding comes from multiple sources. Meyer always invests substantially himself. If he won't bet on success, why should others? He also encourages managing partners to invest, which reassures outside investors that those running the business have skin in the game. Meyer steers Union Square Hospitality Group with an eye toward excellence, growth, and profitability, but along routes that balance safety with thrills and the road less traveled. He views new opportunities as chances to explore rather than license to expand without limits. He's not focused on opening the maximum number of restaurants possible. That would feel reckless and make it impossible to maintain Seoul, which depends on meaningful human connections. Meyer evaluates new opportunities against 9 key criteria. 1. The opportunity must fit and enhance the company's strategic goals. 2. It should represent a chance to create something groundbreaking and fresh. 3. Timing must be right for capacity to grow with excellence. 4. They must believe they can be category leaders in the niche. 5. Existing businesses should benefit from the new venture. 6. They must feel excited and passionate about the idea. 7. They should be excited about doing business in that community. 8. The context must be the right fit for their style. 9. In-depth financial analysis must confirm it's a wise investment. The decision-making process involves Meyer's kitchen cabinet, key executives who meet weekly for 90 minutes to discuss strategic direction. David Swingemer serves as Secretary of the Future, analyzing financial models and structuring deals. Paul Bowles-Beaven assesses human capacity and training systems. Richard Corain evaluates execution feasibility. Michael Romano provides culinary wisdom and kitchen design expertise. Meyer also consults trusted friends, mentors, and investors whose diverse expertise complements his own strengths. Meyer doesn't regret any no decisions he's made, though he occasionally thinks about passing up the Metropolis Cafe space next to Union Square Cafe in the early 1990s. To gut check potential deals, he asks himself, "Would I do this if it were free?" Surprisingly, his answer is usually no. He's declined numerous sweetheart deals from developers, understanding that even free opportunities come with proprietary expectations. True leadership requires providing a clear vision, holding people accountable to consistent standards of excellence, communicating well-defined cultural priorities and values, and personally modeling these standards. As a young restaurant owner, Meyer struggled with these leadership skills until Pat Setta gave him a transformative lesson using a salt shaker. He placed it in the center of a table, then repeatedly moved it off-center, asking Meyer to reposition it each time. His point? Your staff and guests are always moving your salt shaker off-center. That's their job. It's the law of entropy. Your job isn't to get upset, it's to move the shaker back each time and let them know exactly what you stand for. This salt shaker theory helped Meyer develop a managerial style he calls constant gentle pressure, consistently returning to excellence without wasting energy getting upset about the inevitable challenges of restaurant life. The constant aspect means he'll always move everything back to where it should be. The gentle aspect ensures he never denies anyone their dignity. The pressure comes from constantly watching every table because excellent performance is paramount. The most successful business isn't one that eliminates problems, but becomes expert at finding imaginative solutions. This requires giving team members voice and responsibility. Communication is at the root of all business strengths and weaknesses, and understanding who needs to know what, when, and why is essential for leadership. Meyer teaches managers the lily pad theory. Imagine frogs on lily pads disturbed by stones thrown in the pond. When people aren't alerted about decisions affecting them, they feel knocked off their lily pads. Managers must use their fire wisely, as a torch for guidance, as warmth for empathy, as a campfire for collegial bonds, as a bonfire to rally troops, and as the fire in their own bellies to fuel passion. When managers misuse their fire, like building too many campfires that blur the line between manager and employee, they compromise their authority. By 2004, Meyer faced a crucial turning point as his company prepared to open dining operations at MoMA. Despite hiring well for line positions, they hadn't adequately developed managers with skills to open high-volume restaurants. This realization forced him to acknowledge he had become CEO of a growing restaurant company rather than just a restaurateur, a difficult transition for someone whose passion was greeting guests and working closely with staff. Meyer considers effective recruiting and hiring the most pivotal skills for success, with manager selection being most critical since they set the tone for the business. His HR team developed 9 specific traits they look for when hiring managers. The first 3 are 1. Infectious attitude. Does this person have an attitude I'd want spread throughout my staff? 2. Self-awareness. Can they articulate why joining us is the logical next chapter in their career journey? 3. Charitable assumption. Do they give others the benefit of the doubt when discussing situations? Enlightened hospitality works best with optimistic, open-minded leaders, not skeptics who think they have all the answers. A charitable mindset assumes the best in others, creating self-fulfilling prophecies. When you assume people's mistakes come from good intentions, you get further with them during victories. This approach extends to guests too. Rather than berating someone for being late, the staff might say, "You must have had a tough time getting here. We're delighted you made it." Meyer's philosophy of putting employees first, guests second, community third, suppliers fourth, and investors fifth inherently requires a long-term perspective. When facing investment decisions, he analyzes whether they'll yield today dollars, tomorrow dollars, or never dollars, only the last being unacceptable. For example, if a waiter breaks a wine cork, they're gracious about potentially replacing the bottle, establishing goodwill that builds guest loyalty. Through this comprehensive approach to hospitality, prioritizing emotional intelligence, handling mistakes gracefully, and maintaining a long-term perspective, Danny Meyer has created a restaurant empire that continues to set the standard for excellence in the industry. His philosophy demonstrates that genuine care for people isn't just good ethics, it's good business.